This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Jalen Brunson, yeah, we call for it. Come out and show everybody that there's no doubt that you're not losing again in your own building, and you're going to go down with a fight, and you're going to play with pride from tip to buzzer, and not just Jalen, but yeah, no doubt the tone was set, and last night was a fun night, and you know, listen, where this goes, we'll obviously get into this as we get deeper into the show. How the hell do you not enjoy last night if you're a Knicks fan? I think most of us were fairly confident going into the game about last night. And that was finally rewarded. Like last time, we talked about this before the show. There's been a lot of good moments this run here, comebacks, etc. How many times that the Knicks, truly outside of the clincher against the Celtics, really looked like a team that were like, that's the team that we thought we were getting, where everybody was involved, they were playing better defense, their offense was a little different, and they just handled business from start to finish. It was fun.
I think game 4 against the Celtics, game 6 against the Celtics, game 1 against Indiana outside the final 3 minutes, and then yesterday would be the best that you feel about this team. Here's why I wouldn't fully enjoy it. And I was there, it was a great atmosphere, and it was fun. A, because I expected it. Like, the bare minimum, the least the Knicks could do is win a singular game at home. Remember, they're still down 3-2 in a series where I believe they should be up in. But the maddening thing, remember, that was the word I used to describe them after watching game 4. And to me, it's still the same after watching game 5. It's maddening because that, what we saw last night, should happen more often than not. And yet, I'm not sure if we can trust that that's going to be the case. There were points that I thought, okay, after game 6 against the Celtics, I'm thinking they're going to take off to another level. It's why I picked the Knicks to win this series in 5 games.
Everybody did.
And yet we didn't. Right, well, people were saying the Knicks were going to win, but not
did,
in 5.
Yeah. Me too.
So the point is, I thought the Knicks were going to get to that next level. And then we don't. We see the inconsistencies right out of the gate, basically, in game 1. So that's why, to me, like, this is a series I can't get excited about. I'm happy about it. Certainly, it was refreshing to see that type of performance. I'm glad Brunson played a clean, efficient game. That's what we wanted. More outside of the point total, an efficient game led by their star. They played a clean, disciplined game for the most part. Defensive game. They scored buckets. So obviously there's some things we can nitpick as we go along. But that's the type of effort that I think we need to see more often than not. And that's what makes me frustrated about it, when the reality is they're still down 3-2.
They're still down 3-2. But I, as well as they played to start, and they didn't allow the Pacers a little chip away there whenever they got it to 10 or 12, whatever. I think it was 12 midway through the fourth quarter. But it was a no-sweat game. Honestly, it's like you bet $150 on the Jets or the Giants. Well, you bet the other way with those teams. But on the Chiefs to cover, and the Chiefs are up 31-13 in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes to go. You're like, all right, you start counting, you feel good.
The rocking chair.
Oh, you just get to lean back. Is that what he would say? I don't remember him saying that.
The rocking chair game. Yeah, sit back and
kind of lean back a little bit and start counting the ways without sitting on the edge like, oh, come on. What do we get? I get it. So that's obviously very good. But in route to a rocking chair game, understand this. This, to me, is the ray of hope here, big picture for the series. They didn't play great. Like, if the Knicks shot 53% from downtown and 89% from the stripe, and they were, I don't know, I'm just throwing out numbers, plus 15 on the backboards and had a minuscule amount of turnovers, which, by the way, all of those things that I just mentioned, they did not. then I would say, all right, it took an absolutely perfect game and maybe an element of indifference from the Pacers, right? Maybe, to stave off execution for the season. Well, they shot 28% from three. They shot sub 70% from the free throw line, and they had 16 turnovers, which is a lot. So can you clean things up? Yeah. Will the Pacers be better? Yes. Will Halliburton be more engaged? Yes. We very easily could have come in today and presided over the 2024-2025 Knicks funeral. And we're not doing that.
I'm happy with that. But I don't think either of us felt like that was a reality. And then, which is why we didn't really dive into that yesterday. I heard Evan and Tiki talking a little bit about, would the season be a failure if they lose this game? Like, I never... To me, it wasn't worthy of a conversation because I never felt like, and if you did, then we would have felt differently.
That's an after the season conversation. Well, that's what we're really waiting to have for the most part.
Well, or if we felt there was a good chance they were going to lose the game. Neither of us felt that way yesterday, so we didn't get into that. And then being there, and well, you didn't have to be there, but being there or watching it on TV, the game was never really in doubt from the beginning. How many of those have we had? Mm-hmm. So it's not to me about, well, will the season be a success? Or like, I expected them to win. You expected them to win last night. I would assume the majority of people expected them. They were not going out in five at home to the Pacers. Not saying they can't get beat in the series. Not saying they couldn't lose a game seven if they happen to win game six. They were not losing in five to this team. I still think that they're better than the Pacers. So it would have been catastrophic had they lost that game to Indiana last night. Remember yesterday that we also talked about like the Knicks needing to play their A game, or if the Knicks did play their A game.
Yeah.
And I felt like if the Knicks play their A game for these final three games of this series, they're going to win the series because I think they're better than Indiana. And maybe even more so now because they didn't, to your point, play their A game yesterday. Good game, clean, crisp game. Smart game for the most part, but it wasn't their best ever.
No.
They didn't shoot the lights out.
No, and that's why I've got some renewed confidence here. Again, big picture. Listen, it's a delicate balance here because you want to come on the air, and we're certainly celebrating the win, and you were there, and we were pumped up, and New York is alive, and the Knicks aren't dead yet. Now, there's
the huge, like, everybody's going to be into the game tomorrow.
Oh, are you definitely coming over?
I am not.
You're not?
No. Well, I made dinner plans for the anniversary.
During the Knick game?
Yeah, well, it's 6 o'clock. We got, you know, a little early dinner.
Can you leave after dinner and come over? It's not like you're on your honeymoon. You go to dinner and come over.
Yeah.
I got it. We'll talk about that up here. All right. Okay. Well, I get that. So that's a curveball. I'm going to have to come up with new plans now. I kind of thought you would come. But we talked about it.
Oh, man. I don't know. Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Okay. I got you. All right. So listen. Yesterday, right, I did. We didn't talk about it much on the show, but to your point, what you just said, but I did tweet this. I said, listen, guys, this is not a win of a season if they lose last night. You can't go 0-3 at the Garden during the Eastern Conference Finals when you're favored to every one of those games, favored to win the series. And oh, yeah, by the way, like, you've had so many fortunate events come your way. Celtics gone, Cavaliers gone. A lot of things have changed here. So at the bare, now, I will not allow one win to, let's just push this forward a couple days. Yeah. Let's say they don't advance, right? Let's say they lose, whether it's in six or seven, whatever, and they don't win. One win last night will not change how I view the team in terms of, wow, it went from a bad season possibly to, no. I think they've got a lot of changes that they need to go through. But those are conversations for down the road. The Knicks, though, they needed to show up I don't want to say that they needed to do it for us. They needed to do it for themselves. But damn it, there's a piece of me that wants to say, and I'm going to say, that they did need to do it for us.
More, though, there was...
You can't lose again at the Garden.
If they lost last night, more damage could have been done than more good with a win. And if they lost that game, it would have been catastrophic. If they win the game, it's just, yeah, you did what you're supposed to. Now go show us what you're made of tomorrow night. I did get a little bit of a sense. I don't know if it was just Cat in the postgame. Not Brunson. Certainly not Brunson. And not Hard. But I did feel like Cat had this sense of accomplishment when he was on the set with the guys from TNT. And I'm thinking, like, dude, you're down. Again, I'm not trying to minimize the win. Uh-huh. But, dude, you're down 3-2. Like, the Knicks still are behind the eight ball in a series where they should be in front. They should be up 3-2. We should be talking about tomorrow could be the night where the Knicks get themselves back to the NBA Finals. And that is not the case. I'm not saying they can't do it. I still feel good about it. I felt good about the series before yesterday. But I don't want to. I don't think the Knicks should have. And I don't think that they do to a man, to all of them. I don't think the Knicks fan should have this over sense of accomplishment, celebrating in the streets because they won a game that they had to win. You had to win that game.
Listen, I can't relate to the I don't want to say I can't relate, but I just don't think the same way that the young Knick fan thinks. Like, you know, we do the reaction videos. If you guys saw them last night, I did one. Positive Tommy, of course, had to chime in. Sal was out there at the arena
they
doing
got Gio
it as well.
Doing one, too.
Gio looked like he was half asleep, but give him props for doing it. Good job. And those guys have to get up. That's a tough juggle, and they're doing it well. So, yeah, I get it. But and I do see some of the stuff on social media. I'm like, man, there are some younger Knick fans, I think, or some misguided, not just a youth thing, but either young or misguided or overconfident Knick fans who maybe are celebrating a bit too early. But I got to tell you, I honestly believe in totality, I think the Knick fans right now are grounded. I think that this has been a reality check. Last night was definitely awesome. Hopefully Saturday will be awesome, and hopefully Monday will be more awesome, and then next week will be incredibly, almost all-time awesome for the station as we get ready for the NBA Finals. I don't think Knick fans think they have anything in the bag. I think the Knick fans who truly have been through the rigors emotionally and mentally, not to mention monetarily, of this train wreck of a century, I think most of us understand, all right, we didn't get the lethal injection last night, but there's a lot of work to be done, right. And you know the Pacers are coming hard Saturday.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Vinny's on Long Island starting us off. What's up, Vin?
What's going on, boys? Big win last night, baby. Way to go, Nick.
All right.
So listen, so this is what I'm thinking. So, you know, I'm not...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Not naive. I know, obviously, Sab, tomorrow is going to be extremely difficult. If they could find a way to put another game like they did last night together, maybe step it up a bit, unbelievable. I think if they could rip their heart out tomorrow, they can get to game seven. I think the series would be ours, and then we move on. Couple of quick points. Cat's got to clean up these stupid fouls, man, because if he can clean that up and stay on the court, they cannot handle him down front in the paint. That's point number one. Point number two, still a little sloppy with the freaking turnovers, man. 15, yep. And Josh Hart, I don't know. Josh Hart, he said he was okay with going to the bench, and I like him on the bench, but maybe his adjustment from not being in the game at the beginning is having an effect on his sloppiness.
Yep.
I don't know. And one more point that I would make. The other night when Halliburton was speaking, when they first made the change, when they were putting all these guys in off the bench that you haven't seen in forever, he made a point to say something along the lines of they got thrown off. They need to throw them off tomorrow again, too. I don't know if Tibbs would ever do it. I would love to see McBride in the starting lineup and get in his face all night long and throw him off again. I don't think he'll ever do it, but they got to stay on them like they did yesterday. If they can do that, we will win again in the Garden, and we will blow them out of the water.
I'll tell you what, good call. And he threw a lot of things at us there. Like if we're in Indiana, or let's say that the Knicks were up 3-1 and Jalen Brunson was as disengaged as Halliburton was last night, he'd be getting skewered on the radio right now. That's their problem. That's not an us problem. That's them. Let them figure it out. Now, number one, the three things he threw out, the cat fouls. Short and sweet. It's never going to change because he's slow and he reaches and he's constantly out of position. He's always going to have fouls. Number two, the turnovers by Josh Hart. Sal, I don't understand this. It's almost like he's in between. Do I go to the rim and shoot? Do I pass to the corner for a three? The amount of, and he's not alone. Brunson had a bunch the previous game as well. The inability to protect the ball. Listen, you got to cough it up here and there, but they're coughing it up when they're actually in a position to get a layup.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of layups, Obi Toppin can't hit one from under. Obi Toppin. OG Anunoby can't hit one from underneath, can't hit a three either.
Yeah.
I would not be overly concerned about Josh Hart. Turnovers are going to happen. You want to minimize them. They were better in Game 5 than they were in Game 4. And maybe it is something to him not being in the starting lineup. Now, there are no excuses, but maybe just trying to get, you know, the feel of the game, or maybe second guessing himself, maybe feeling a little bit of pressure when you start to get in a little bit of a rut, turn the ball over, then it could start creeping in your mind, and now you're thinking instead of just going out there and playing. But for the majority of the season where Josh Hart is on the ball, he is a facilitator with this team that I trust. I don't look at him as being sloppy. As a matter of fact, I feel like Jalen Brunson more times has been sloppy with the basketball than Hart. I don't know if the numbers back that up or not, just going based off of my mind's eye. I'm not worried about Josh Hart here. And I would have gone back to him in the starting lineup. They're probably not going to do that now.
Yeah.
Once they made that change starting with Mitch, I wouldn't think they're going to go back to it now, especially after winning yesterday. But I personally would go back to Josh Hart in the starting lineup.
Well, I mean, Van Gundy, you're obviously the game, so you didn't hear the commentary last night. The Van Gundy kept saying, and he's right, we all know this as Knicks fans, you know, you watch the Knicks here, where Josh Hart's at his best getting downhill, you know, going coast to coast,
yeah.
And he truly is one of the better finishers in the game. Now, I think in an unconventional way, like when I think finisher, I think a guy on, like James Worthy, I think a guy on the break, you know, just catching it and rising up and flushing. That's not really Josh Hart, but you know, he's got strong shoulders and he's got great body control and he's got great instincts. But for whatever reason, now, we've got to also tip your cap to the Pacers. They're not letting the Knicks do this, you know, get downhill in open space where they've got 50, 60 feet in front of them where they got numbers. Knicks don't do that. Now, Pacers do that to the Knicks. The Knicks really don't do that to the Pacers. This is going to be interesting. The one thing that I did see, right, is, and I give Tom Thibodeau credit here, okay, there was at least an identifiable adjustment, and it started from the opening tip. And I can't tell you, we're all frustrated this series watching Jalen Brunson inbound, like take the ball up, get shouldered, get picked, get hit, get harassed, no fouls either way. Somebody's in his grill from the time he gets the ball. The first three or four possessions, he started off the basketball, which freed him up untouched. And guess what? He scored four buckets in a row.
Yeah, and playing clean basketball from then there on out. And also played, you could see the defensive intensity turned up from Brunson and playing clean there. What do you have, just one foul?
One or two. He didn't have many.
Two personal fouls.
Right.
So the fact that he can play that type of defense and do it cleanly, to me, was encouraging. Not that I expected him to be some shutdown defender, but you can see it. Jalen Brunson clearly went into that game determined. He was disciplined. It's not that he hasn't had big games before. Obviously, we know that. But the efficiency in which he played with, the discipline in which he played with, each possession, respecting each possession offensively and defensively, that to me was the thing that stood out the most last night. Adam is in South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
Good morning, guys. I'm tired. I'm feeling good. And, you know, we're one win away from doing something we haven't done in a long time, which is play basketball in June, guys. Unbelievable. So all the old Knick fans, remember those days where we expected June? Well, we might finally be back in June. What was really encouraging last night in the beginning of the game was the defensive intensity. I've been waiting for that. Did you guys notice that they got Halliburton out of his game because they were picking up a half court last night? They weren't letting him get set up. They weren't letting him just kind of run around up to the three-point line and letting Indiana run circles around him. The intensity was great. Mitch was big. And, you know, my mind tells me, I don't know about tomorrow, but I just got a feeling they're going to win that game and come back to the Garden. And the pressure's on Indy now. If you don't win at home, if you don't win at home, you're coming to New York to lose. And I hope they understand that. Go New York, go New York, go. Love you guys. Let's go get that win.
Thanks, Adam.
Good job, buddy. I hope they don't understand it. Yeah. I want them to undersell the moment. That's advantage us.
Yeah, I mean, look, we could get into that when we come back, maybe spin it forward a little bit. You know, as for last night, BT, I think it was expected. Like, the Knicks were supposed to do this, and you could argue that they should be up three games to two. So that's why I wouldn't go nuts about last night, and I would look to say, okay, well, now can the Knicks make up for the horrific loss in game one? The way to make up for that is that we're going to have to win two games on the road. They got one in game three, couldn't do it in game four. They're going to have to win one in game six, and then you got to like their chances coming back here. But look, they played well last night. You expected that to happen. Can that be sustained for tomorrow night's game in game six?
My honest answer is I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, that's my honest answer. I hope there's some evidence rooted in, you know, what has already happened that tells me no. And there's some things that I saw last night where I'm like, huh, I haven't kind of seen this energy or this tenacity from this group.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a renewed purpose or an awakening from within. And if it's that, well, then the answer is yes. If it was an outlier, then they're done.
Right. If it's a one-off, then they're going to get blown out. We talked about the efficiency. I mean, the point scoring is nice, yes, but you want to be efficient. He was just that, 12 of 18, 4 of 7 from downtown. You talked about him getting free early on by design. That was nice. Rebounding the ball, the assists. He had 5 assists as well, and cut down on the turnovers, cut down on the silly fouls as well. Clean game from Jalen Brunson. I would think you need more of that, if not, all right, that was great. Now take it to the next level as far as scoring goes on the road. Anything from last night that you saw that makes you feel differently about this team and their chances? Something that could be sustained? And we've had this conversation throughout the postseason, and it hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Unlocking things. I thought maybe the Knicks were going to unlock something. It hasn't happened. But was there anything that you saw last night that thought, okay, now I feel like they could win this series?
Yes. Just quickly, first though, like, there's nothing more reassuring as a fan than when your guy, whether it's your ace pitcher in a big game coming out, putting a few whiffs on the board in the first inning, or your superstar in the NBA coming out and scoring a few buckets early. Nothing gets you in the right mindset more than that. You just kind of knew early on, if not immediately, it was going to be a good night. Now, to answer the question, yes. To me now, it's apparent that Tom Thibodeau is not going to be stubborn and go down with the ship the way I think we all thought that he was going to go down with this ship. And that's not try anything new. And listen, when your stars are in foul trouble, you do things because you're forced to. And then you're like, wow, this actually works a little bit. Now I'm going to do it proactively and preemptively before my guys have fouls. So I think by reaching down the bench a little bit, small samples, 3, 4, 5 minutes here, 3, 4, 5 minutes there, that allows the defensive intensity to keep up. And you know I'm talking about Shamit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm talking about Chamet. It is at least a little teeny tiny curveball that he now has, and I know now he's willing to use it.
Yeah, I mean, I know people are making a big deal about that. I can't get excited about Landry Shamet. I know they were chanting his name at the Garden last night. I was not one of those people. I was like, come on, what are we doing here? Landry Shamet. Like, I appreciate the hustle and the energy and the effort. Like, Landry Shamet should not be featured, as far as I'm concerned, unless it's garbage time. If they were getting the effort that they should be getting from their best players, then it wouldn't be about Wright or Shamet. Now, I'm not saying you can't have those guys play a few minutes, but let's not make it like they're going to be integral parts in turning the series around.
No, but they have been. They already have been. They've already proven from a plus-minus. Forget about the... They from an energy perspective, they've already validated that they deserve the time that they got. Now, I'm going to meet you halfway. I'm not saying Shamet's coming out Saturday night dropping 13 points.
Right.
But one of the problems, I think, Sal, with the Knicks is that, and it's also a good thing when it works well, but I think it's part of their problem too. They're too even keel. Like, OG is expressionless. Bridges is expressionless. Really, the only time Cat has expressions when he's complaining to the rest. He'll give you a couple flexes. And by the way, you don't have any muscle. What are you flexing? I understand if you're yoked and you're jacked, you flex all you want. Hey, you're flexing flab.
Yeah.
But anyway, he played his ass off. I just had to say. Even Jen said, she's like, why is he flexing? So does he work out?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just think a lot of the Knicks' primary player, Bridges, is just expressionless. Nobody emits any sort of edge, like that jagged edge. And again, I'm not saying Shamit's Mace or one of those characters from the 90s, but he brings a little something different. When he was wrapped, and I don't know that you saw this in the arena, but it was very evident on TV. When he was wrapped up with McConnell on the baseline, and he actually kind of reached around, knocked the ball off McConnell's thigh, went out of bounds. Yeah. And it's a small thing, but the Garden feeds off that, and his teammates feeds on that. His reaction, I mean, it was like he just either got a sack or forced a fumble. It was outwardly emotional, and it was palpable. And I want that guy to keep playing, and he's going
to. Yeah, and the crowd loved it. Matter of fact, I heard Boomer and Gio talking about it, and they were talking about like how crowds react to three-pointers, which obviously they do. However, it was clear last night, and you know this, the Garden, I mean, going back to the 90s, like, we feed off of defense and the defensive plays. So that is clear, whether it was Mitchell Robinson making a big defensive play and the place going nuts, whether it was Shamit on that particular play they're talking about and the place going nuts. I'm kind of confused, though, because if Shamit was, and I don't want to say integral player, but if he was a useful player, why has he been glued to the bench for the majority of the year?
It's one of my issues with the coach. Okay, but he's incredibly stubborn. He plays eight guys. That's the answer.
But then I think, and I like a shortened rotation, especially in the playoffs, because I want my best guys out there.
Yep.
But if Shamit is proven, and I'm not there yet with him, like clearly the offensive game, I know he hit a three yesterday, but clearly the offensive game is not there. And you shouldn't need offense from him when you got everybody else out there.
Correct.
So that's fine. But if he were a piece on the bench, like, dude, we didn't even reference him at all. We've mentioned Achiuwa at times.
I said him going into the series, and you laughed. Yeah, and I was like, I didn't say right. I'm like, a little Shamit, and people were letting out.
Come on.
But I did say it. Yeah. Like, the guy's been around for a couple years. He's not a bad player.
He's not a good player either.
But he's a purposeful player. Like, you can be not good, not bad, but still have impact and usage. But you got to be on the court to bring the characteristics that you bring to the team. Otherwise, you're a zero. And listen, I'm telling you, like, I give him credit halfway because he stumbled on it. It's not like Tom Thibodeau before the start of the series said, man, you know what? The way the Pacers do this and the foul trouble that we're going to see with Cat and Brunson, I've got to make sure I get Landry Shamit and DeLon Wright involved in the first 9 minutes of game one of the conference. But no, that's not what happened. Let's not recreate or reinvent the wheel. What happened was his players are slow and they reach and they get fouls immediately and you got to do something.
Yeah.
And there's only so many bodies to go to. Well, he gave Shamit and DeLon Wright a chance and every game they played, they've been plus minus favorably.
What happened was foul trouble. What happened was campaign being useless. You notice we haven't seen campaign in the while. So he figured, hey, if campaign
he adjusted to that.
Chucking threes. Let me see if DeLon Wright could at least give me a few solid minutes. Now, I'd like to see, but we talk about, if we talk about Josh Hart, you've said this specifically, you know, Hart's a liability with the ball. Not a liability, that's strong, but he can't shoot, right? So when he's out there, the defense is going to leave him open and guard everybody else. Well, then what happens if you have DeLon Wright and Landry Shamit out there? Now you got two guys out there that are not a threat at all.
They're both better shoot. Well, I don't know if Wright is, but Landry Shamit is absolutely, it's not even close. Josh Hart can't shoot at all. Shamit's 39% from downtown for his career.
Yeah, but how many opportunities?
Well, I know. Listen, I get it. He plays minimal minutes, but I know that Josh Hart is not a good shooter. I know statistically that in smaller doses, Landry Shamit has proven to be an above-average NBA shooter, obviously within reason and within range. Listen, I think the reason that this could work, Sal, is because I think you were the first one to say it. You know, the superstars on the team, do they match? And this goes back months ago. We weren't sure about this. And I was less sure about the Knicks. But you brought up, do their best players mesh and complement each other the way they need to with other teams that have champions? You know, right. Like that model that usually works for in the NBA. And I didn't think it did. You brought it up. We talked about it. One thing that I see now, when you have guys like Shamit and other defensive players on the court, and you just have Towns, now you run the entire offense through him, is good.
Right. It should be good enough because he's that type of offensive player.
Bingo.
Where at any given moment for a spurt, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever it may be, you should be feeding the beast when he's the lone offensive guy out there and make your team better defensively. I'm watching that in real time last night thinking it's almost like two teams. The one with Jalen Brunson and the majority of the starters out there, or even the one with Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns together, and then the one with all those ancillary pieces.
And Cat.
And Cat's the featured player.
So,
but what a nice luxury where your best player's on the bench, but your second best player can be a lead scorer on a team.
Yes, but because of this is why, think about the question you asked me. Has anything happened that makes me feel a little bit better about this team? And we just had, I think, a very interesting conversation as to why. And that's why, because the circumstances have dictated change, and change has now shown the coach that change could be good.
Yeah, and that they can survive.
Yes, forget about survive. Strike. Well, flourish.
Yeah, but well, that is true too. But remember, we weren't even sure if they could survive without Brunson on the floor. It used to be, and the majority of even this year, last year certainly, but even this year, it's like, oh God, Brunson's on the bench for a couple minutes. Cross your fingers and hope that they can keep the game within, you know, 5-6 points, whatever yeah. it may be. Mm-hmm. And now we've seen them thrive at times with a deeper bench that's being used, with Karl Anthony Towns being the featured offensive player, assuming that he's on his game. He's a little too up and down.
No doubt.
Because if they can do what they did last night for the most part and have that consistency, okay, Brunson's going to get a breather. Cat's our featured offensive player. Here are our, you know, bench players that can go play some D around him. If they could do that, now you're really rolling, because there are, I was going to say no weaknesses, but limited weaknesses throughout the course of an entire 48 minutes.
Correct. Like, there was, I was watching the series, as we all were, and I'm like, man, you ever play the whack-a-mole game on the boardwalk?
Yeah, of course.
That little beaver, whatever the heck it is, pops up, you slam the hammer, next guy, next guy, next guy, next guy. I felt like it was whack-a-mole with the Knicks. Like, they would address one thing, and then something else would pop up. And eventually, and in my mind, before last night, even really before the last game, where those guys got more run, Shamit and Wright, where I'm like, man, I know that there's things popping up, but I don't have a hammer anymore. Right. Like, the hammer's gone. Well, to me now, there's a hammer in the form of other options to solve those beavers popping up.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yeah. BT and Sal.
I'm shaking his head.
I know, I can't. What? There's so many things that I'm filtering through right now. BT and Sal, the man, Art is in Bridgeport, Connecticut. What's up, Art?
Yeah, guys. Just one comment and then a couple observations. So you guys talk about old Knicks fans having a painful 25 years. It's actually been 52 years for some of us much older fans. Hmm. So,
yeah, but at least the point, Art, that BT was making is that it's been a bad 25 years. Like, you lived through the, okay, the 73.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I'm not disagreeing with the point. Yeah. But it's been a bad 50 years, I'm telling you.
Yep.
Okay? I never thought the Ewing teams, as teams, were good enough to win a championship, and they never were. I mean, Ewing was an amazing player, but that was it. So, two observations. And I agree with BT's overall stance on the Knicks the entire season, just having that skepticism. Couple observations. I think that Halliburton is psyched out by Mitch Robinson. I heard a comment he made where he's talking about, oh, Robinson's all over the place. There were a couple plays yesterday where he started down the lane and Mitch came up to meet him, and he just backed out, and he was out of the play after that. I think Robinson's gotten into his head. That's number one. Number two, Josh Hart last year would take the ball coast to coast. Whenever he'd get that rebound and he'd get out dribbling on the break, he would take it to the basket. This year, he stopped doing that. He gets to the three-point line or maybe even the foul line, and he stops. And he looks to pass it. And sometimes he looks to pass it, he's not even looking. He just wants to get rid of the ball, and it resulted in turnovers.
All right, hold on one second, buddy. Yeah, it's a good observation. Hey, well, yeah, good call. And you're right. But I wonder if that's by demand of the coach because of the wing shooters that they have, at least in theory. I mean, if you rebuild the team and restructure things where you have, you know, prototypical 3-and-D guys in each corner, every time Josh Hart gets in trouble, he's looking to dish it to the corner. So I think
it's the right, but it's what he should be doing.
If that's what he's instructed to do, sure.
Not each and every time. And look, I think Hart has gotten a bad rap here a little bit as of late. We know he's not a great shooter, but think about what he had a terrific postseason a year ago. He is a glue guy. He's a rebound machine. He's heart and hustle. He can attack the rim. He probably does that better than anybody else. I mean, Jalen Brunson and Hart, the two most aggressive players inside. I know they tried other guys, but Hart is more effective than that. All right, he had a bad game in game four. It happens. He's had good games in the postseason. It's going to happen. I'm not overly concerned about Josh Hart. I like him being somewhat of a facilitator and complimenting Jalen Brunson, which also, BT, to your point earlier, should in theory free Brunson up a little bit from being primarily on the ball.
Let me say it again. I absolutely have as profound a respect for Josh Hart as I think I do any New York athlete, because he plays with such purpose and such spirit and such vigor and generally such intelligence and his motor is unrelenting. I absolutely love the guy. The reason why I think, Sal, the tone around the heart or dissecting his game this year is different is because now the stakes are raised. Last year it was, oh, look at Hart doing this. Wow, the Knicks kind of overachieving. Wow, this is amazing. Now it's like, all right, guys, we're supposed to be in the mix for a championship, and I think his role needs to be reduced. And I think that they know that.
It's an excellent point because now we're grading the same. It's why, like, I went over that list during the Pistons series. I'm not looking at this as, hey, we're happy to be in the playoffs the way we were a couple years ago. Or, hey, maybe get to the second win around this year. Or, hey, maybe get to the Eastern Conference Finals. We are grading them on a championship-level curve. It's why we pick them apart. Well, yeah, it's great that they have Cat and Brunson, but those guys don't play any defense. Yeah, it's great that they have Mitch. He's got liabilities offensively. Yeah, Bridges, in theory, should be good, but where's the consistency? OG Anunoby, to me, has been maybe the biggest disappointment.
He's been off, man.
So we're nitpicking, and it sounds like we're really ripping them apart, but it's really graded on a championship level.
Bingo.
So listen, we will be giving away Post Malone and Jelly Roll tickets during the 12 o'clock hour. So make sure you stay tuned for that 12 p.m. hour. Post Malone and Jelly Roll tickets to give away. No, the Eminem song is because 25 years ago today, that album, the Marshall Mathers LP, was released.
It dropped today, 25 years ago.
God, that was I feel like that was like my heyday, meaning like my prime of driving around and listening to music.
Yeah.
Trying to go out and, you know, meet girls, whatever it may be.
Oh, yeah. I was actually living in Vegas, bleached blonde hair. You don't think I was bumping this all the time?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Come on, we got to get pics of that.
I got one of those. I got a picture. I can show you. I have pictures. Spiky blonde hair. Oh my God, what a disaster that was.
Look at BTE.
And then when did this song, I don't think it was the same album, when I said back with this pack. Yeah, that's it. Same this song. Pack. Yeah. All right, one. Oh, good.
Maybe Hoff will get that one. I told him, I was like, hey, it's the 25th anniversary. I was reading something, actually. There's an interesting article in the Post today that Eminem's former producer, this guy Jeff Bass, talked about.
From D12 or after
no,
that?
No, I think, well, I'm not
were
sure.
They but together?
He produced a lot of Eminem's tracks for a while. They haven't spoken in like 15 years or 17 years. They were both like really, you know, high on drugs or whatever it was.
For sure.
But doing these albums, and he produced this particular album. So there was an exclusive in the Post that gave some insight from what his former producer said about how Eminem recorded some of the songs on the album. So it was good insight. That's how he knew it was 25-year anniversary.
There you go.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. That I'm going to call back to the Knicks. Speaking of 25 years, hey, Eminem comes out with that album. That was the last time the Knicks were in the Eastern Conference Finals. Knicks now two wins away from the NBA Finals. Rodney's in Boston. What's up, Rodney?
Hey. How you doing, man? BT, shout out, salute to you guys. I love you guys, bro. Funny, good energy, great chemistry.
Thanks, Rod. It's awesome.
Now,
thank you, buddy.
After that love affair, man, I'm afraid that I'm about to get kicked off the phone. I know how Sal is. I know I'm about to get kicked off.
We got you. Go ahead. Just get to it.
Yo, Sal, you've been horrible today. I'm talking about horrendous in your assessments. You've been bad for a while this playoffs with letting Tibbs off the hook and this love affair with Josh Hart. And I'm a Josh Hart guy too, but I think you love him because he reminds you of Stark. And
Stark's a better shooter. I was thinking about that last night. No.
Okay, so I mean, I know he is, but I just think with the effort and all that, that you kind of just, you have a bias towards him.
No, I think he's been good. I think Josh Hart's been an integral part of this Knicks team.
No. He's been horrendous this series, not this playoffs. I think he's had an amazing playoffs.
Okay, this is not. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. This is not his series, man. He doesn't need to be playing 35 plus minutes. Sit him down, let him regather himself, and then bring him out there. You're trying him out there, and I'm gonna be real with you. We lost Game 4 in love. And Coach Six. Let me tell you why. We lost the game by 9 points, I believe. Game four.
I think we got a bad line.
Yeah, it's too tough. I think it's too tough to.
All right. So Roddy's getting on me for my assessment of Josh Hart. And by the way, what I'm saying about Hart, I'm not talking about this specific series. I'm talking about in general. Josh Hart has been an integral part of this Knicks team, the core of this Knicks team for the last couple, since he's been traded here, but certainly for the last couple of years. He had a big postseason last year. I think he's been fine this postseason. All right, you want to nitpick and say he hasn't had a great series? They played five games in the series. What, he's had two bad games? He's not the reason why they blew game one, so they really should be up, even in a series where maybe he's not at his best. And the other part, I guess he was going to get into Tibbs and criticizing him.
Well, listen, I think one of the reasons why we all have great, as you know, I said before, profound respect for somebody like Josh Hart specifically is that he would have fit in with those teams of the 90s that we all love. He would have fit right in. Now, what option would he have been? What would have been his exact role? I don't know, but I can promise you he would have fit in with Oak and Mason, Patrick and John Starks. We all know that. That's the good stuff. The bad stuff is that his style of play is much more conducive to the 90s. Because he's not a shooter. And you see, and we've talked about this, Al. It's one thing if I pass to you and you just don't shoot efficiently. All right, you don't have to be Steph Curry. But the lack of willingness to shoot creates real spacing issues. It just does.
Let me ask it this way, and I would have had Rodney's phone been a little bit better. Who do you think's had a worse series, Josh Hart or OG Anunoby?
OG. OG's been terrible.
So then how come the pitchforks aren't out for OG Anunoby? He has sucked this series. Now, defensively, I like OG. I like his attitude, you know, maintain even keel, all that stuff. Dude, 1 of 7 again from downtown?
Yeah, and he's missing by, they're way off,
and
too.
And that's one part of the game that he's supposed to excel at. Mm-hmm. The other part is underneath the basket, point blank looks, he doesn't know what he's doing.
It's almost like he's doing these, you know, like when a running back gets the ball, and right before he hits the hole, he dots the eyes, he kind of shuffles his feet a little bit, yeah. Like, think, and then he goes. That's what he's doing under the basket. It's so weird. It's almost like he's, and I know he doesn't. I don't even really want to speak it into existence, but this was my observation. It's like he's got the yips under the basket.
Yeah.
Don't shoot the ball.
I think he might. He thinks too much under there. But again, I blame the coaching staff for that or the design or whatever. You shouldn't have. Oh, that's not his game. Why can't he sit in the corner where he excels? And by the way, even with that, he's still off shooting this year.
I know. And the numbers, and the Knicks knew this, which is why they made the move that they made. You know, we can look at overall three-point efficiency, and the numbers are what the numbers are, but both Bridges and OG Anunoby were over 40% from the corner last year.
Right.
And think about all the shots he's missing, primarily from the corner. It's very weird. I don't know.
Which is why I thought the design of this offense, and you saw a little bit of it last night, but still it's too much. One-on-one, all right, let's feature Brunson here. Let's feature Cat here. Let's feature Bridges here. You've seen too much of that. But I thought the offensive design was going to be, for the most part, try to penetrate, attack the rim, and then swing the ball, kick out.
I know.
What all the shooters, and they just don't do that nearly enough. But I do think the criticism of Josh Hart has gone over the top. I'm not saying you can't criticize him for a bad game, a sloppy performance, certainly in game four. But the criticism of Josh Hart has gone over the top, in my opinion.
I just think it's, for me, what I'm saying is for specific to him, it's just I'm calling for a slight reduction in minutes. That's all. I'm not trying to banish the guy. I love the guy. But, you know, there are matchup things that sometimes work and sometimes don't.
Eric is calling from Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Hey, man.
Hey, Sal, BC. How are you, boys?
What's up?
Oh, man, was it a really good move this morning? It's Friday, coming off a Knicks victory, and then you got to tell me that a real Slim Shady's 25 years old, so now I'm depressed. It's unbelievable. We're still 25, aren't we? I mean, it's unbelievable, man. The clock stops for no one.
Meanwhile, I'm still hanging on to AC/DC. It's 30 years before that.
and real quick, BT, it's whack-a-mole.
What
like
did I say?
Beaver.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. I hear you.
Thank you, Eric.
I'm just messing with you. But on the Knicks, I think you guys, you know, I think you're both right, and you made some really, really great points in that, you know, yeah, just, you know, with Shin and Wright, I would love for them not to have to be on the court, but considering the way OG and Bridges have been, they've been necessary. So I think both things are true, and they've been really nice integral pieces that have really disrupted the Pacers. And that, to me, is what was so different about the game last night and the intensity of the defense, making them uncomfortable, which the Pacers just generally have not been, and the Knicks haven't made them that uncomfortable. When they do, and I mean, there's nothing better than beating the Pacers and seeing half of their team not show up. I mean, Halliburton being a complete zero last night,
yeah.
There's nothing better. Beating the Pacers and then seeing him as a zero is what you want, and that's what they need to do. Mitch being out there clearly makes him uncomfortable early on, and if he doesn't catch fire early, he's a mess. He's a head case. He's, I think, similar to OG that way. Like, I have no idea what's happened to OG, But they, like, I think you might be right, BT. He's got the yips, which we never want to put in the universe, but it feels that way. Like, I don't know what happened to him, but defensively he looks like, you know, middle of the road. He doesn't even look defensively like the player he can be. So, I mean, right, and Shamet have been necessary. And I actually, I mean, as bad as it's been for Hart the past couple of games, I mean, he is kind of the heart and soul of this team, so it's hard to get on him too much, but he looks chaotic out there. He looks a little out of control, so I don't mind sitting him, and maybe you start McBride. I thought that idea yesterday, so it was a great one. Yeah, maybe McBride's the answer. Start him, shake it up. I don't know.
I don't think they're going to do it, Eric, and thank you for the call at this point. I do want to get into tomorrow night, BT. We'll spin it forward a little bit when we come back here and talk about what happened last night and if it's sustainable, what elements need to be sustainable for the Knicks to go out there and win a Game 6, make it stick, and bring this series back home to the world's most famous arena for a Game 7 Monday night with everything on the line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.